everybody, if you'd like to take your seats, welcome. 10 out of 10 for remembering it was a 9:30 service. Well done, you all get extra points. Awesome. So just to say a little bit before we start, the worship today is going to be very chilled out, so don't feel like you have to stand unless you want to stand. Don't feel like you have to do anything. There's going to be some space for prayer, but I won't really announce it. So if there's a space and you want to pray, feel free to pray. I will wait until you've finished before I carry on. So yeah, we're just going to have a little bit of quiet time, some quiet songs, and just sit this morning with God. Today is always a tricky day, I think, because I personally have never really been close to war. I've never really had to deal with that. It's quite a far away thing. And so I'm just always very conscious of wanting to respect whatever today is for everybody else. And I hope that we do that. So, Father God, we come to you this morning imperfect, in pain, loaded down with worry, aware of the things in our life that are not where you would like them to be. Lord, you said that our burden would be light, and so we bring these things to you, to trust you with them. And trusting you with our burdens, we also trust you with our happiness and our joy. We trust you for our peace, for shalom, which means not only the absence of noise, but also a fullness and a completeness. Father God, fill us anew with your Spirit. Give us your peace this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Morning, everybody. Warm welcome to all this morning, and also, of course, who are watching on YouTube. Quite a few of our usual friends are missing. There'll be a put the community event that's been held at Aston. It does start about 10:45, I think. Michael's very kindly offered any lifts. He's got some room in his car. If anybody wants to go up there after this morning's service, that's fine. He'll be able to do that for you. Anyone who wishes to stay for a while, we'll still be having tea and coffee at the end of the service. I don't know about you, but the beginning of this service has just been so lovely this morning. Just that such lovely calmness and people praying out loud and feeling comfortable. It's a somber day, isn't it, really? There's always tinged with sadness. But when you read that verse, Libby, from Revelation, and there's one word that comes out of it, isn't there? Hope. The hope, and for us as Christians, in Jesus. And they do say that people that live with hope tend to cope better with life situations. I don't know, I'm not a scientist, but it's just an interesting concept that people that have hope in things do tend to cope better. So thank you for that. It's been really lovely. It seems a shame to disrupt it with the notices, but I've got a few things to mention, so we'll crack on with them now. Tomorrow morning, prayer and meditation at 9:30 via Zoom. On Tuesdays, it's no ARC playgroup. This just for this one week, it's had to be cancelled. But we have the lunch club on Thursday at 12 o'clock. And next Sunday, church members meeting down here at church at 12 after the morning service. Everyone should have received documents by now. If you haven't, can you please let David know and he'll make sure you get them before next week. Shoeboxes are due to be collected this week, Thursday, I think, is it? So if you haven't brought them, can you make sure that they're here by Thursday? Or just contact one of us and we'll come and pick them up for you. I'm not going to mention the Christmas events. I went through them last week. They're There's leaflets at the back, flyers. It'll be on the website, and newsletters will be due out soon. So, but there's just one thing that I didn't mention last week, and that is that we now have a date for the crib blessing. It's on Wednesday, the 6th of December, and it's up at Aston this year by the parish church. And they're offering to give us refreshments after that. So that's Wednesday, the 6th of December at 6 o'clock. As usual, website, Facebook pages are regularly updated. So if you'd like to keep your eye on what's happening on there, or just give us a ring. Thank you.
We are going to be having a look at Revelation 21. So if you'd like to find Revelation 21 in your Bibles, that is on page, if you'd like to find it on a page, 1041 of most of the Bibles in front of you. We're going to be having a look at Revelation 21, and we're going to be looking at the verses that Olivia read for us, verses 1 to 5. Revelation 21 on page 1041. And yes, good morning from me. Let's pray as we turn to God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have been our hope and help in ages past. And we thank you that in you we have a great hope for the years to come. Please help each one of us to put our trust and our hope afresh in you this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's a real privilege to be speaking on Remembrance Sunday. And on this Remembrance Sunday, we remember the men and women who gave their lives to protect our peace and our freedom. And we remember the price that has been paid on our behalf. And it is a great price. This act of collective remembrance, I'm sure we all know, started after World War I. And after the end of World War I, there were only 53 parishes in the whole of England and Wales who didn't need a war memorial to honour the dead of the parish. 53 in the whole of England and Wales. Of the 6 million men and women who fought in what is called the Great War, 1 in 8 were killed. 1.7 million were physically wounded. And of course, now we appreciate that not all wounds are physical. There were a huge number of people who returned with what we would now call PTSD or combat stress syndrome. And then, as Jan alluded to, let's also remember the friends and family that were left devastated. The sacrifice is extraordinary, and it is right that today should be an act of heartfelt thanks. But also, as well as thanks, today is a day that we remember. Today is the day that we remember the past in order to understand something from it. History teaches us lessons about the world today. There's a well-known saying that a generation which ignores history has no past and no future. If we forget what the world is really like, and as we've heard in our prayers, a world where blood is shed and war is commonplace, if we forget that, then we can very easily slip into naive optimism about the future of the world. It is tempting to bury our heads in the sand and just hope that somehow the world will turn out better. And to a certain extent, we did that as a nation in 1918. The war to end all wars. Only 20 years later, the world was at war again. And since the guns fell silent at the end of the Second World War, the British Army has been involved in over 20 more major conflicts. Since 1945, there have been only 2 years, 1968 and 2016, when a British service person hasn't been killed on active service. And I guess if we were to lift our narrow gaze and our eyes from the land that we stand on and we look around the world, we see loss of life in nations across the planet. When I prepared the message, there were 32 countries in conflict, whether that's a civil war or a terrorist insurgency or a drugs war or a more traditional war like we see in Ukraine. So remembering our history rules out a naive optimism about what lies ahead for our human culture. And today we remember our past not just to honour those who gave their lives to service, but also in order to remember what our world is like. And as we think about that, and as we remember, it's hard to avoid hopeless despair. If we look at what the world is like, those statistics that I've given you, and we see the realities of the place that we live year after year, decade after decade, seeing the patterns of violence go on, it's very easy to become somebody who despairs about what lies ahead in the world. What hope is there? What hope is there for a messy and broken world like this one, which has always known war? Well, our reading from Revelation 21 contains a vision that John, a follower and eyewitness of Jesus, had. It's a vision about the future of the world. And it's a vision that I think is neither naive nor hopeless. And so on this Remembrance Sunday, even as we look back, let's also look forwards. And I think one of the big messages to be drawn out of this vision is that our world will be made new. Have a look at verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and the sea was no more. Our world will be made new. Our general election is less than a year away, probably. And each week, our politicians for the next year will be ramping up their efforts to explain their vision about how they can make our country a better place. And we know already that there will be promises about the NHS, about the economy, about law and order, about education. And keeping healthy and safe and prosperous are important things, and they matter to all of us. But in John's vision for the future, we're not seeing a vision of 40 new hospitals or 20,000 new police officers or whatever we're going to get promised. John's talking about a totally new world. This isn't a repair job for crumbling concrete or fresh paint to cover up the cracks. This is a new build from the ground up. And what a stunning world it will be. Have a look at verse 4. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Pain, crying, mourning and death. That's what our world is now, because we live in the old order now. But on days like today, we appreciate that it could be far worse. We've already said how thankful we are in this country to live in relative peace. And we should be incredibly thankful to those who do their best to hold back evil and pain now. People like Joshua Leakey, who in 2013 was in Afghanistan when his patrol was attacked by the Taliban. Under fire, yet undeterred by the very clear and present danger, Lance Corporal Leakey ran across the exposed slope of a hill three times to help evacuate casualties, to resight machine guns and to return fire. His brave actions proved the turning point and prevented considerable loss of life. It's right to be thankful to those who hold back evil and pain. We appreciate that this world could be far worse for us, and we should be incredibly grateful to anyone who stands in the way of pain, making it less severe. And yet, despite the bravery and sacrifice of many, we do still live in that old order. And so, no one and nothing can absolutely and ultimately protect us from pain, crying, mourning, and death. But one day our world will be made new, and on that day there will be no more hankies or hospitals or hearses. And also, when we looked at verse 1, did you notice there will be no more sea? I don't know about you, but I quite like the sea. Some of my favourite moments have been spent by the sea. I like the sound of the waves. I like the smell of the ocean. I like the sight of the expanse of water. So it seems a little bit mean of God to take away the sea. What's going on? Well, it is possible that the new creation will not have a sea. And there will be something better. But it's also possible that this is an image. You see, back when this was written, the sea was often seen as the source of evil and chaos in the world. The sea was associated with death and unpredictability. The sea was the source of separation between nations. And so when John says that in this new world there will be no sea, I think it's very likely that he's saying there will be no evil, there will be no unpredictability, there will be no division. Today, whether it's people who traffic others, playing with others' lives, or terrorists who murder, or dictators who brutalise, we are all too aware of the sources of evil in our world. But John's vision says one day the causes of evil will be removed. Imagine one day being able to turn on the television or open your BBC News app and know with absolute, utter confidence that every single story you can ever come across will contain no evil, no suffering, no sadness, and no account of death at all. What a day that will be. Our world will be made new. And we're assured that this new world will be utterly safe and secure. The world that is described as a city in Revelation 21. And if you flick your eyes just down the page onto the next column of verse 17, John has the measurements given to him. The city walls, we are told, will be 144 cubits thick. That's 200 feet or 61 metres for a youngster. City walls, 200 feet thick, probably not a literal description, but it's an image of complete and absolute safety. Our British government spent £55.5 billion on defence last year. But one day in the future, not a penny will be needed because we will be totally and eternally saved and safe. Our world will be made new. But look, is this just naive optimism? A bit like 1918, the war to end all wars, it'll be all right one day. How can it possibly be true? Have a look at verse 2. I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Well, how will our world be made new? God will do it. Back in the beginning, God created the world. This world is not an accident. We are not here because of an unbelievably unlikely series of chemical accidents. We're here because a personal God made the world. And if he made the world once in the past, then he can redo it in the future. And in case we missed the point, have a look at verse 5. He who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new. Our world will be made new by God." But notice that our world will be made new by a restored relationship. Looking at verse 3, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." Relationships are so important, aren't they? And one of the tragic things about war is the breakdown of relationships that happen in families. Before World War I began, Rudyard Kipling was probably the most famous author in Britain. He wrote The Jungle Book. He had a son, John, who joined the army on his 18th birthday. 6 weeks later, on the 27th of September 1915, John was involved in the Battle of Loos and disappeared in the fighting. Rudyard Kipling was distraught. Over the next 4 years, he did everything he could to track down his son. He questioned the soldiers who were fighting with John, and they had no idea what had happened. He contacted senior military officials. They had no idea. He appealed to the Red Cross. They could find no clues as to what had happened. He even got messages through to Germany to see if John had been captured as a prisoner of war. That led to nothing. John was never found. And his dad, Rudyard Kipling, was left absolutely crushed, bitter, and angry. His writing was marked by sadness and grief. In 1916, the year after his son disappeared, Kipling wrote the poem My Boy Jack. It's a poem about a father waiting for his son to come back after the Battle of Jutland. And it's a really haunting poem. It's full of agony and heartache. It reminds us that of all the sufferings that war brings, surely some of the cruelest are caused by the pain of broken relationships, be that caused by death or trauma. And the Bible understands this pain, because at the heart of the Bible is the story of a broken relationship which brings untold sadness and death. The Bible begins by describing the world as it is meant to be, with God and humanity living together in a perfect, peaceful relationship. It doesn't take very long. By the third chapter, all of that was lost. Humanity, in its greed and desire for power, rebelled against the Creator, destroyed the relationship. And when humans war with other humans, precious relationships are destroyed. Fathers lose children. Children lose parents. But when humans war with God, the most precious relationship of all was destroyed. We lose God. We lose the author of love and light and all good things. And that's why this old order now is so full of pain and tears. But a day is coming when all that is lost will be restored. God will once again dwell with his people. And when he does, look at verse 4. He, that's God himself, will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Now, again, I don't know about you, but there's a little bit of a mystery here. I don't know how it will be possible for God to wipe away every single tear from every single eye. There have been so many tears, so many sons like John and Jack. More than 1 million British service personnel were killed during World War I and World War II. That's not even thinking about the other countries and the other nations. So many tears. But somehow, when the relationship between God and humanity is put right, there will be healing from pain. There will be healing from the pain that comes from living in this old broken world. Only God is big enough to wipe away all those tears. So how will our world be made new? Well, with a restored relationship. Even as we rejoice in that future, though, we must wonder how it will be possible for those who have rebelled against God and pushed him away, those rebels like us, how will it be possible for us to live with him forever? We're told just a little bit further on in this chapter in verse 27 that nothing unclean will ever enter this new city, this new creation. How can anyone possibly get into this perfected and pure world? Well, spoiler alert, through the ultimate sacrifice. On the 5th of June 1982, Captain Gavin Hamilton was leading a two-person patrol in the Falklands when suddenly they came upon an Argentinian force. They were hopelessly outnumbered. The only escape route for these two British soldiers was back across open land with no cover. As shots were fired, Captain Hamilton was injured in the arm. However, instead of trying to protect himself, he ordered his lieutenant to retreat while he himself stayed and provided covering fire. His lieutenant did indeed scramble to safety across the open grounds. But as Captain Hamilton stayed to provide the covering fire, he was fatally wounded and died at the scene. He gave his life to save the life of another. And in a similar but much greater way, Jesus came into the world the first time to lay his life down for others. Not because he was caught up in some surprise attack like Captain Hamilton, but because he came on a pre-planned rescue mission. On the eve of his death, Jesus wept tears of agony, knowing that the next day he would experience the full weight of God's righteous anger and wrath for the sins of the world on himself. On the cross, Jesus was cut off from God so that we can be brought near. He gave his perfect and pure life as a sacrifice and a substitute for unclean people. And no one is too unclean to be beyond the reach of Jesus. Even our enemies on the battlefield. But equally, no one is clean enough not to need it. Lots of people get confused about this, I think, in our society. They think that if they try hard enough or give enough to the needy or recycle enough or are kind to their cats, that will be enough to get them into God's presence in the future. But it won't be. We all need to be cleansed through the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus. And so on this Remembrance Sunday, as we remember those who laid down their lives to secure our freedom, let's not forget the most wonderful news of all. The news of the one who will wipe away our tears in the future. He himself knows what it is like to weep. He himself knows what it is like to have loved and lost. He himself knows what it's like to experience death and separation. and because he wept and died and was cut off. One day, we will be free from death, mourning, crying, and pain. Let's pray. Almighty Heavenly Father, we are so thankful this morning. We are thankful for those men and women who lay down their lives to serve us and secure our freedom. We're thankful for today for the Lord Jesus, who paid the ultimate sacrifice in the giving of his life on the cross, to win for us a washing, a cleansing, and a restored relationship with you. Father, we thank you that even as we look back, we can look forward this morning with great hope, with great confidence of a world put right through him. And we pray all this in the powerful, mighty, glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.